Paramahamsa Parivajakacharya Ashtotra Satoshi Srimad, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaura Premanandi. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Parishtaya Bhutala Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namane. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Vacharane Niravishesha Sundivari Paschachadeshtaya. Hare Krishna. So I'd also like to follow Mother Mukya, wishing all the mothers, all ladies, a happy Mother's Day. Actually, we all have a very special connection with our mothers. We know from the science of the soul that the living entity that travels throughout these universes, he takes birth in a particular womb, according to his particular circumstances, his particular inclinations, his past activities. So in a sense, our mother is the culmination of our entire journey in this material existence. We find ourselves in her womb, and from there we enter into this material world. So quite literally, where would we be without our mothers? And of course, many of the nurturing and nourishing qualities that we find or that we come across in our lives are also the influence of the mother. And so not only we wish you happy Mother's Day, but also offer a sincere thanks for our situation, particularly those of us who are here today in a temple of Krishna, worshiping Krishna, taking advantage of the fortunate opportunity to have taken birth and come in contact with Krishna consciousness. They say that there are two births. The first birth is from one's mother and father. The second birth is a different mother. What mother is there in the second birth? Who can say? Wife of the guru, okay, but something else I'm looking for. The Vedas. Somebody said it. The Vedas. Knowledge. The second mother. So Thank you, Mataji. I just returned from a week I spent in Radadesh, Belgium. We have a temple community there. Like our ISKCON community, like our community here in Alachua, only smaller. Much smaller. But they have a unique feature, that community, the Bhaktivedanta College. And I have the fortune to go there and teach every year. So I just came back on Saturday night. And while I was there, I was teaching a course in ethics. And that course actually has some lessons for us on this Mother's Day. And so what I'd like to do is go through one of the exercises we go through in that course that brings out this teaching point about motherhood. So I'm going to read a little scenario to you here, then I'm going to ask you all a question. And we're going to answer it in unison. Okay, you ready for this?
Yes.
Everyone's paying attention. You will be graded on this. That's what I tell my students there. Okay, you are standing outside of a burning building. The flames and the smoke are getting denser and denser, but there is still one way to enter the building. They're going to have to be quiet outside if they want to catch this. So there's still one way of entering the building. And trapped inside the building are three beings. Number one, your beloved mother. Number two, a Nobel Prize winning scientist who was close to discovering a cure for cancer. Number three, a highly intelligent ape who might unlock the secret of the missing link. You have time to save only one being, and each is equally distant from where you are standing. Given that you could save any one of them, which one would you choose? And why, especially on a day like today? Who would you save? You're wrong. You don't save your mother. The science of ethics tells you that you have to be impartial in your choices. And even though your mother has needs and you have a relationship with her, just because of that relationship, it doesn't mean you should save her. You should be impartial. So you're wrong if you said your mother. You don't save your mother. You save the scientist or you save the ape. Don't tell her that today. But this is what traditional ethics teaches us, that you have to be impartial, you have to perform duties that are formed by reason, and that should be the basis of your action, not partiality. So, the reason why I teach that course and the reason why I use that example is to show you how screwed up this world is when you just rely on reason and rules and regulations. That's not everything. You can't just depend upon that, otherwise you get these unnatural results. Does anybody disagree with me that it's unnatural not to save your mother on Mother's Day when you had that opportunity? Who wouldn't save their mother? But the science of logic and reason as applied to ethics gives these skewed results where it's you get unnatural kind of consequences. Therefore, it's time for a revolution. It's time for resolution to throw off these old ways, these conditioned ways of thinking. You'd be surprised that to the extent that my students go to in that class to convince me that because the greatest number of people would be happy and satisfied and benefit, that saving the scientist is more important than saving their mother. Because that's how we're conditioned. We're conditioned by this world to think in these terms of reason, duty, logic. And look at the results in the world around us. A lot of good results, wouldn't you say? I mean, the worlds are at war on every continent, and all kinds of horrible things people are doing to each other. It comes from our material conditioning, and that material conditioning sometimes produces these kind of skewed results. Therefore, we want a revolution. And that revolution is the Hare Krishna revolution. Instead of giving prominence to these things like logic, duties, dharma, etc., we want to accept Krishna's arrangement. We want to accept Krishna's arrangement. And what is Krishna's arrangement? What is Krishna's arrangement? It is that, among many things, but given today is Mother's Day, Krishna's arrangement is that the mother, our mother, is the first guru. Our mother is the first guru. Mothers don't speak in the language of rules and regulations, of dharma and adharma. Mothers speak in the language of unconditional love. We want to take advantage of that unconditional love, to understand that language. Because, after all, that language is the first language that we encounter upon taking birth. We encounter the language of unconditional love. I have three lessons for you that I want to present that are lessons we learn from the mother as the first guru. They're not rules and regulations. They're not dharma. They're not logic. They're not reason. They're in the language of unconditional love. Number one, Srila Prabhupada gave the example of how you know your father. If you want to know your father, then you have to place your trust in your mother. You ask your mother, who is my father? She can say, this is your father. If you place your trust in your mother, then you can know your father. Let's take out the mother and father from this equation and understand it in a broader sense. If you trust, then you can know. All learning comes down to this. If you can trust, you can know. And it goes back to the mother as the first guru. She says, you question, who is my father? She says, this is your father. Because you trust her, you can know who is your father. Because you trust, you can know. This is the first lesson that we learn from the mother as our first guru. The second lesson is one of protection, shelter. This world, we know, is a very dangerous place. It's a place of disappointment. It's a temporary place, and we often find ourselves in need of some protection or shelter. What to speak of the baby when the baby comes out of the womb. The baby needs the shelter of the mother, even physically. You can't separate the newborn infant from the mother. She has to be in the arms and cuddled and held. Otherwise, there are all kinds of physiological and psychological conditions that develop, because that protection has to be there. So protection or shelter is the lesson that we get from mother as guru. If we look at Srila Prabhupada's own life, in the Srila Prabhupada Lilamrita, he tells some instances about how he sought the shelter of his mother. We all know and have no doubts about the exalted position of His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, an intimate associate that was sent to this world by Krishna to deliver all of us. Yet he took shelter and protection of his mother. Just see the description that's in the Lilamrita. Abai observed his mother's simple and touching attempts to ensure by prayers, by vows, and even by rituals that he continued to live. Whenever he would go out even to play, his mother, after dressing him, would put a drop of saliva on her fingers and touch it to his forehead. Abai never knew the significance of this act, but because she was his mother, he stood submissively, quote, like a dog with its master, while she did it. Like Gormohan, Rajani, it's his mother, treated Abaya as the pet child. But whereas her husband expressed his love through leniency and plans for his son's spiritual success, she expressed hers through attempts to safeguard Abaya from all danger, disease, and death. She once offered blood from her breast to one of the demigods with the supplication that Abaya would be protected on all sides from danger. At Abaya's birth, she had made a vow to eat with her left hand until the day that her son would notice and ask her why she was eating with the wrong hand. One day, when little Abai actually asked, she immediately stopped. It had been just another prescription for his survival, for she thought by the strength of her vow, he would continue to grow, at least until he asked her about the vow. The mother protects the child. And we can accept that and be happy. I remember one time when I was growing up, I had a paper out. And everything was fine. I used to get up early and go do the paper out. Everything was going really good. Until one day I came to a house and a dog came running out of there barking like a mad person and running after me. It was never the same on that paper out again. And what was happening was, there was like little dogs like that one. There are puppies, and that mother was protecting those puppies. That's why she came running at me, you know, growling and snarling and teeth bared, scaring the heck out of me. So my life was never the same. Because she was protecting her children. That's what mothers do. That's what children need. That's the lesson of protection taught to us by mother as the first guru. And the third lesson, self-sacrifice. All of you mothers know how much you've sacrificed. And all of us appreciate or should appreciate how much you've sacrificed for us. Selflessness. This is the essence of motherhood, selflessness. And Srila Prabhupada pointed out specifically the love of the mother as being without expectation of return. What a lesson that is to learn in life, if we can lead our lives in such a way that we interact with others, that we interact with nature, that we interact with God Himself with no expectation of return, with that kind of purity of motive. That motive is rarely seen. But where it is seen is in the love of the mother for her child. And as I'll mention later in a short presentation, Srila Prabhupada himself says that that is the closest thing to the love of the spiritual world that you'll see here in this material world. The love of a mother, the unconditional love of a mother for their child. So these are valuable lessons, you see, because a mother does not speak in the language of rules and regulations, of dharma and adharma, of reason and logic. A mother speaks in the language of unconditional love. And that's something that can be understood even by the youngest child, the child fresh out of the womb. They can understand that language. And that's actually Krishna's arrangement. It's Krishna's arrangement. It's a wonderful arrangement. It doesn't just apply to human beings. As I gave the example of a dog. In every species, you'll find that this tendency, this inclination to nurture and protect the children is found. I had this realization one time in a bank, of all places. I was in the bank, and as I was waiting in line, a mother with a very young child, must have been maybe a week or two old, came into the bank carrying the child, one of these contraptions that they wear to keep the child close. And just observing the interaction of that mother with her newborn, I got struck with the realization that actually this protective nature, which is motherhood, is found in every species of life. Every species of life is found. And that's Krishna's arrangement. Krishna has made this arrangement. We have to come to this world, which is a terrible place, full of all kinds of suffering and pain. But when we come, the first thing that happens to us, and I guess I should say, if we're fortunate, given that this is Kali Yuga, if we're fortunate, because in Kali Yuga, all kinds of unmentionable things happen. You don't even get to see the light of the day. So many millions every year. But if we get out of the womb, the first thing that we experience is the love and shelter and protection of a mother in any species. That's Krishna's arrangement. We're coming to this terrible place, but the first thing we experience is something that's going to help us. Something that if we learn these lessons, these three that I pointed out, and they're innumerable, if we learn those lessons, and then those are things we can take throughout our life. I see Mother Natika Chandrika here sitting in the back, and I did glance through my bookshelf when I was preparing this talk, and I did notice her book from the very beginning. She gives this talk about how from the very beginning the children should be trained in Krishna consciousness. Did you mean very beginning when they come out of the womb, or very beginning when they start Gurukula? Okay, there you go. Even before that, before you're put into the womb, preparation is made. That's motherhood. That is motherhood. That's our introduction to this world. And it's the first lesson, but it's also the most important lesson. Just like I was saying, trust. If you trust, you can know. That's something that will last throughout your whole life. This lesson that the mother gives unconditional love, and that is the closest thing to spiritual love, true spiritual love, that is the first lesson that we learn. It's the essential lesson of life. It's the most important lesson that we can learn. The very first one you get. The very first one you get, coming in contact with the unconditional love of a mother, how that is most similar to the eternal love for the Supreme Lord that will take you out of this world and not into another womb again, is the first lesson that you learn when you come into the world, because it is the most important. So, I think these things are to be thought about and meditated upon. And there are three things that I would just ask you to do. First, let's go back to our little hypothetical we started to talk with about the burning building. Save your mother. Have no doubt about it. Save your mother. Even in the study of ethics now, they're throwing out this traditional view. And what's coming in is a feminine ethic that talks about the ethics of care and relationships. Previously, if you were in a philosophy class studying ethics and you said your mother to that hypothetical, the professor would, beat you if he could. But now it's different. He would also have to say that according to feminine ethics, it's unethical, not just a choice, but it's unethical not to save your mother. It's unethical not to save your mother in those circumstances. And I think some of these reasons, particularly the spiritual reasons that we've gone over here today, are why that we can say it's unethical. So save your mother, that's the first thing. Two, learn the lessons that we talked about here and save your human life. Save your human life. This human life is rarely attained. After thousands and millions of births, we finally get the opportunity. But it's very short. The opportunity is very short. Don't miss it. Save your human life. Start from the very beginning. Take advantage, because it's easy to miss it. When I was a brahmachari, we were traveling, and we came here to Gainesville. There's an old temple on Depot Avenue downtown there. And I was sitting in the class in the evening one day, and I think Satrup Maharaj was giving the talk. And I kind of nodded off, sometimes we do in class, we just start going to sleep. The next thing I remember was, he was saying, all glories to Srila Prabhupada, the class was ending. And I thought, I missed it. We don't want to end our life like that. We don't want to end our life like that. I missed it. Oh, I had the opportunity, I missed it. Oh. So save your human life, that's number two. And number three, save the world. The world, at least the United States today, is celebrating Mother's Day. Do they really know, or will they really take advantage of what Mother's Day actually means in terms of what we presented here today? I would hope so. And it's our job to try to do that. That's how we save our human form of life. We try to save the world and give them some knowledge. First, we have to have them trust us, because if you trust, you can know. If they trust us, then we can give them the wealth of knowledge, which is our second birth, the Vedas. And in that way, everything will be a success, and our mothers will probably be very pleased with us. So these are some thoughts on Mother's Day from a Krishna conscious perspective. Does anyone have any comments or questions that they'd like to put forward at this time? Are you raising your hand, Mother Mamai? Oh, okay. Yes. When you come on.
Wonderful class. Hare Krishna. So some years ago, Mother Nataka was helping the teachers of Alachua, about 10 years ago. And we were talking about how it's difficult to be a parent in this age. It's difficult to sacrifice to make the situation good enough to take proper care of our children. And we were mentioning Gurukula. How Srila Prabhupada wanted every one of our children to go to Gurukul if at all possible. And I said, well, many devotees are struggling. There's not much money. And she said three words. Rice and beans. Rice and beans. She said, that's the kind of sacrifice you need to do. Rice and beans for months. Rice and beans for years in order to allow our children to go to our Krishna conscious schools. Mm. Never forget that.
Rice and beans. Okay. Thank you. Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Mother Natika Chandrika Ki Jai. Bhaktivedanta Academy Ki Jai. Yeah. Alachua Mothers Ki Jai.
Mm-hmm. Got somebody behind you there.
Yes, Prabhu. We're talking about mothers. Then we mention eight mara. But you know something? We chant a mantra every day, 16 words. Eight times in the mantra we say Hare. And four times, reservoir of all pleasure, Rama, refers to the mara also. And four times Krishna. How come everybody forget the real mara there? This is the mara that we're begging to get out of this planet. And not really to get out, to purify us, to worship the Supreme Lord, with some purity. Even in the Vedas, they talk eight mothers, the cow, wife of the Brahmana, wife of the Guru, all of this kind of thing, your real mother. But I think that is the real mother. Because when we say Hare, it refers to Oma, like a baby crying. Please engage me in your devotional service. And it is mentioned 12 times in the 16 words. Hare, eight times. Rama, four times. And Krishna, four times. So the mother is mentioned, as far as I think, 12 times. But everybody forget the real mother, Hare Krishna.
Anyone else?
Hare Krishna, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
This is a question not related to this class, a general question. Different religions preach different types of philosophies, and those religions also preach about liberation for their followers in their religion. My question is, when it comes to our Krishna consciousness movement, what is meant by liberation? Because there are bad people who get liberation in our scriptures. Can you please explain what is meant by liberation, and is anything beyond liberation for the devotees?
Liberation means complete freedom from any inhibition or obstacle to serving Krishna. That's what we mean by liberation. That liberation can be achieved right here and now. You don't have to go to the spiritual world for liberation. Our shastras describe that if you are 100%, it means 100% dedicated and dedicating everything you have and you are and that you be to the service of Krishna, you're liberated. The example is like a coconut. Sometimes the core of the coconut dries, and even before the coconut is split open inside, it becomes detached from the coconut. You can hear it rattling around loose in there. That is liberation. That's how we can be as souls, even in this body, completely liberated. So, but there is something beyond just being liberated within this body, liberated in service in the spiritual world. Because there, you are so uninterested in any selfish thing, like we're talking about the mother's love being as close to the spiritual love as possible. In the spiritual world, no one is self-interested. They don't understand what that means. Their only interest is Krishna. And so they are given facility, like copra viksha trees, desire trees, where they can get anything they desire. You put a copra viksha tree, you know, in my front yard, you know, you're going to see like a Ferrari and, you know, all kinds of stuff there, you know. But in a spiritual world, you're not going to see that. You're going to see what Krishna wants. So that's liberation. There are concepts of liberation that are impersonal, that simply say giving up all desire, giving up all personhood, any personality, any relationships, giving that all up. That's liberation. Because that liberation focuses on looking at the troubles that come from relationships and variety and things in this material world, how these things bind us in the material world. And so one thinks that liberation must be where those things don't exist, where they don't bind, where they don't inhibit. And so they think that. But no, there's a step beyond that. There's the freedom that comes with spiritual liberation and service to Krishna. And so that's what we want. That's the direction. That's where we're headed. We're not interested in just nirvishesh, emptiness, voidness. We want unlimited variety for the service of Krishna. Yes, Prabhu.
Sesha Prabhu, thank you very much for telling us on this auspicious day of Mother's Day how we fundamental ABC of Vedic culture, Mother is the first guru. However, I want to add to that by saying that we are sitting at a highest level of spiritual center. We are sitting in ISKCON center. Why I say it is the highest? I say it is highest because our mother gave me this body. Eternal mother, Srimati Radharani, that Ajamil Prabhu is alluding to, she gives in charge of our spirit, soul. So at this day, we have to commit ourselves somehow in the spirit of Vrindavan, where everybody is greeted by Radhe Radhe or Jai Jai Radhe. At least we have come on the right foot by saying Hare Krishna to each other, which is very good. But let's one step further. Let's start saying Radhe Radhe, Jai Radhe. I just wanted to bring that. Thank you very much, Sisha. Very nice talk.
Hare. Anyone else? Ladies? All right, we'll end there and take prasadam. Hare Krishna.